Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. I am so glad we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. It's so wonderful to be able to get away from the distractions of this world and all the troubles and all the heartaches, everything that sometimes seems like it's just pounding you. But praise the Lord, we have a place in Jesus, a little sanctuary, a place where we can find solace, where we can find peace, where we can find joy. And how blessed we are to know the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful that we can trust in our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray, and I have several requests here that are that have just come to my attention within the last day or two. So if you would bear with me, I know there'll be more than what I'm going to mention, but I know there's some urgent needs right now. I hope you'll join with me as we pray here together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this great privilege to come here, Lord. Oh, God, to have this little time where we can set aside the things of this world. Oh, God, to forget about, oh, Lord, all the little things that, oh God, come upon our plates at times and all the time. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd help us, oh Lord, to look upon thee, Lord. Oh God, to get our minds in that direction, Lord, where there is faith in our hearts, where you can move the mountains that need to go, Lord. Oh God, where you can use us. Oh God, that you can help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts. Oh Lord, for your coming, you're going to come and not tarry, Lord. And I just pray, oh Lord, that you would help us, Lord. Oh God, our journey here on life, on earth is short. Oh God, I pray that you'd help us to prepare to get ready, Lord. And oh God, I do bring these requests to you, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you would continue to help Jana as she heals, oh Lord, from the process, the thing that she ordeal she went through yesterday. I pray, oh God, that you continue to help her, that you'd mend her, Lord, that you'd heal her kidneys. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray that you do a great work, Lord. And oh Lord Jesus, that your healing virtue would fall upon her, Lord. Oh God, and that you would touch her afresh. Oh Lord, and that you would heal her in a beautiful, wonderful way, Lord Jesus. God, I bring Deanna before thee too, Lord, and I just ask, O Lord, that you would continue to heal her, Lord. Oh God, that all her taste or smell would come back, and oh Lord, that you give her strength again, Lord. For thou art able, Lord, to heal. Oh Lord, you are able to do it to the fullness, Lord. And oh God, you know how to strengthen us in the name of Jesus, and I pray that you'd strengthen her tonight, Lord. Oh God, help her recovery to be fast. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray for Penny, Lord. Oh, God, I pray for Mackenzie. I pray that you touch these two, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you give them faith, Lord. And, oh, God, I just pray that all the strange reactions and, oh, God, all the things that seem to be slow at healing, Lord. Oh, God, would continue, Lord. Oh, God, to heal, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd, oh, speed up the process even, Lord, if it be thy will, Lord. But, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, it would come forth in the name of Jesus, that you'd give faith, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, that you'd give strength, oh, and stamina, Lord. Oh, God, and ability, Lord. And, oh, God, oh, Lord, that, oh, God, Mackenzie could do her work, oh Lord, that she could teach the piano, Lord, and oh God, be strengthened and not worry about her heart accelerating in beats, Lord, and oh God, that, oh Lord, you would, oh Lord, renew this ability, Lord, oh God, that you would encourage her. I pray against POTS in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh Lord, that it would be gone, Lord. Oh Lord, that it would go in the name of Jesus. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, that you would take it. Oh Lord, and oh God, it would no longer be an issue in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh God, I pray also for Neil and Kim, Lord. Oh God, you know what's going on there. I pray that you would heal Neil, Lord. I pray that you touch, oh Lord, his digestive tract and everything else, oh Lord, that needs healing, Lord, that you give him, oh Lord, the abilities that he needs, Lord Jesus, that you stretch forth your hand also Heal Kim, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, you know about their struggles. I pray, oh God, that you'd show them where you'd have them to go and make a way for them, Lord Jesus. So, God, touch them afresh, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you'd work in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray for Tori, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that, oh Lord, all the effects from that concussion, Lord, would be healed, oh Lord Jesus. I pray that her eyes, oh Lord, would be healed, Lord. The blurriness would go in the name of Jesus. And oh God, that you would strengthen, oh Lord, everything that has been damaged, oh Lord, that it would be healed. Oh Lord Jesus, you know every need, Lord. Oh God, all her abilities. I pray, oh Lord, that, oh Lord, they would be mended, that they would be healed. In your wonderful name, Lord, oh God, for you made us. You know how to fix us, Lord. Oh, God, you know how to strengthen us. Lord, let your will be done in that family, Lord. Oh, God, let your healing virtue flow in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we just ask you, Lord, to do a work, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that you would touch Rob also, Lord. And, oh, God, that you make a way for the things that are needful, Lord Jesus, that your will would be done, Lord. Oh, God, how we need you, Lord. Oh, God, be with your people, Lord. Touch afresh. Oh, God, let your spirit come down, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, that there would be, oh, Lord, oh, God, a revival of thy spirit, Lord, that you'd fall upon us, Lord, before this all ends. Oh, God, help our hearts to be made right with you, Lord. Help us to draw near to thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, help us to walk with thee with our strength, our might, our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, help us to give 100% to thee, Lord. Help us to know thy will, Lord, and to walk in thy ways. Oh, God, we need you, Lord, and I pray that you'd work here tonight. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help us here tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd move here tonight, Lord. And oh, God, I pray that your healing virtue would flow, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, and oh, Lord, your strengthening power. Oh, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to examine ourselves. Oh, God, that our priorities might be made right, our hearts might be made right. Oh, God, we come before you, Jesus. I ask, oh, Lord, that you'd work in us. Oh, Lord, that you get us ready, Lord, for we need you, Jesus. Oh, God, that thy strength and thee come upon us, Lord. Oh, God, you know every need, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help Phil, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help this man who so desperately needs, oh, Lord, to find you, Lord, to know you, Jesus, to be right with you, Lord. I pray that you touch his heart, Lord, even now in the name of Jesus, for the power of the blood, Lord. Oh, God, you know every need, Lord. I pray that you work in a mighty way, Lord, that thy will would be done, Lord. Oh, God, for you are here to help us. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Have your way here tonight, Lord. Oh, I can do nothing without you, God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to go into the Word of God. See how he leads us here tonight. We'll call this message, Standing on the Promises. Oh, praise the Lord. We are so blessed to know the living God. Blessed to have his word. And oh, yes, as we read his word, there are those beautiful promises that come forth. And you know, God's promises are not like man's promises. I know sometimes we might, you know, have good intentions, and we might even make a promise, and perhaps it even slips our mind. You know, things happen sometimes, and it might not even be possible sometimes to keep them. And of course, we know, oh, there's so many that make promises just, you know, to get appeal and to get votes, and you know, to make them sound like a certain way. But oh, we have a wonderful God who makes promises. And his promises are not yea and nay. No, his promises are yea and amen Amen. Praise the Lord. And we can stand on his promises. Oh, yes. They are built upon the solid rock. Amen. And it's, oh my, it's something that is sure. It's a certain foundation. And oh my, we can rest in the promises of God. Amen. And know that what God has declared will indeed come to pass. You know, in this world that we're living in, you know, there's not too much you can bank on. Things change all the time. And we have seen tremendous changes. You know, we have really, you know, we see what's beginning to happen on the face of this earth, in this country. And oh my, it's enough to cause terror if you were really to think on it continuously. But praise the Lord, we know our God is with us, and he's going to be with us even until the end of the world. And we know that, you know, what they're plotting, what they're planning, so much of it is not going to happen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, we can rest in the promises of God. I'm so thankful. Oh, for the things that are written in God's word. Let's go to 2 Peter, the first chapter here, and read a few verses here. It tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I read this first verse, I notice, of course, you know, Simon Peter's humility as he addresses himself as a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he is addressing this letter to others that have already come into the fold, that likewise have obtained like precious faith. So, you know, this is not a letter to the unbelievers. And that's true of the letters that are written, the epistles, that, you know, they are written to people that already knew the Lord Jesus, who had believed and had obeyed the plan of salvation, had repented of their sins, been baptized in the name of Jesus, had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. And so those are the individuals that are being addressed in this epistle. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, oh, we could do nothing without our God. And it's not because of any works that we have done, but it's because that he has given us his righteousness. Oh, yes, that one day we might be able to stand and be accepted in his sight. And it's all because of him and what he has done. And oh, yes, that garment that he has given us, his righteousness, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord, we could not do it otherwise. Our own works, our own goodness, if we could even call it that, would never get us into heaven. But praise the Lord, our God has made a way that we can obtain the righteousness of God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2 tells us, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, the things that are written in God's word. And you know, we're really blessed to have this book, Old Testament and New Testament, both of great value, praise the Lord. And yes, with the New Testament, not only the Gospels, the precious Acts of the Apostles, but oh yes, these letters that have been written, praise the Lord, to specific churches in the past, but praise the Lord, you know they've been kept, and here we are able to read them also. And yes, know the goodness of the Lord through what has been written, even to be challenged, even to be led, oh yes, to know so much more than we would know otherwise through these great writings that God has provided for us. Praise the Lord. Then he says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, coming to the Lord, you know, it's not just a one-moment process. No, it's just the beginning when we turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus. It's just the beginning because, oh, he's going to work on us. He's going to change us. His divine power is going to have an effect upon our lives if we allow it to, if we walk in the light, if we continue in his goodness. Praise the Lord and walk with him. And there's a call. That call is to glory and to virtue. Well, virtue is excellent. It's something, oh yes, it's a ability to go beyond our natural man here. Praise the Lord. It's a moral excellence. It's a valor. It's a merit beyond what we would do of ourselves. Praise the Lord. But that calling is to glory and virtue. Praise the Lord. So that we can live above our natural tendencies, so that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And unto us, oh, we've been given promises. Verse 4 tells us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great. That means outstanding, you know, just, oh, you know, beyond the norm. Praise the Lord. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we all had that old nature. We all walked at one point in, you know, that lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and in the pride of life. You know, we had that old man. We had that old nature. Oh, yes. But praise the Lord, it was a divine grace that talked to our hearts and helped us to be able to comprehend God's goodness. That call to repentance. Oh, yes, so we could yield our hearts, our lives to the living God and get right. Oh, yes, to be a partaker of his great and wonderful salvation. Oh, yes, we were all out there at one point. Oh, believe me, we were. It tells us in Ephesians, the second chapter, starting with verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, praise the Lord. He hath quickened. That means that he made us alive. And yes, our old ways, our old life, it was a deadness. We were dead. We didn't know the living God. We were walking in our trespasses, in our sins, things that seemed natural to the natural man. But praise the Lord. For that moment when the Lord got a hold of our hearts. And oh yes, that need to repent, to turn our lives over to God became a reality. Oh, something that hit us so that we could fall on our knees and cry out to God for mercy. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, we didn't have to walk in our deadness anymore. We didn't have to walk in our sins, our old man, our trespasses. It explains in verse 2 here in Ephesians, the second chapter, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Oh, we were all out there. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, there is none that is righteous, no, not one. Oh my, none of us can boast that we were, you know, made without sin or, you know, just, you know, born with a holiness about us. No, we all in time past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And oh my, is that spirit rampant at this point? Oh, we are seeing all the works, oh, of the devil, oh, majorly. Oh, it's you know, I'm sure that cup of, oh, full of the sins of this world is to the brim. But we were all out there. We all walked that course before we knew the living God, before we had opportunity to repent. Oh, praise the Lord. But, oh, yes, it tells us in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, what can we say? We have nothing to boast of. We were all back there in our former time, you know, when we walked according to the old man, the lust of the flesh. And, you know, we did, you know, like I said, you know, just what seemed natural. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. But oh my, in that condition, we weren't ready to meet God. We weren't ready for heaven. We were the children of wrath. We were bound for hell, the lake of fire. Oh, yes, on that course. But thank God there was an intervention in our lives. Praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, how true it is. Oh, when we truly yield our lives over to God, there's a new man walking in our shoes. Oh, praise the Lord. All the things of the world begin to lose their effects. Our desires, our affections all begin to change as we let the Lord rise in our hearts, as we put on Christ. And as it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we don't have to walk in those old ways and fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a living way that we can walk in. Oh, yes, he got a hold of our hearts. Oh, our attention was called to the living God, so that we might turn from our sins. Praise the Lord, and let the Lord take that bondage, that sin, that thing that separated us from God. Oh, yes, and sin separates us from God. Oh, yes. Sinners aren't going to make it to God. We must give it to God. We must be saved from our sins. That's why Jesus Christ came. Oh, praise the Lord, we don't have to walk anymore according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Oh, praise the Lord. And I thank God, like I said, like the word says, it's not of works. We don't have anything to boast of. Oh, praise the Lord, we become his workmanship. It's the Lord, who shines his light upon us so that we can turn our lives over to the living God. Oh, yes, he can take our sins, therefore. We obey that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. Thank the Lord, and he seals us with his spirit. Oh, the gift of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. And it's a new creation, a new man, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord, we rise from those waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. If we don't come up speaking in other tongues, oh yes, that promise is given unto us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, that promise of the Holy Ghost, as well as those wonderful, exceeding great and precious promises that Peter wrote about. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, because it gives us opportunity to be partakers of the divine nature. Praise the Lord. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But why is this world so crazy? Why do things not make any sense? Oh, why is it getting more and more so? Oh, it's because sin is coming to the full. Oh, yes, there's a great division not only between those that have been vaccinated and those that are not, but all those that are Christ and those that have given their hearts to the devil. Oh, I believe, that time when, there has to be a declaration. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is nigh in the valley of decision. Oh, yes, it's coming to the head here on this earth. I believe there's a separation. Oh, yes, of those that will walk with God. Those that will obey the promises, and those that will walk in their own lusts, in their own flesh, in their own ways, in their own unbelief. Oh, yes, we're so privileged to know the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we can stand on the promises of God. Therefore, amen, and rest in his goodness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter here for a moment. Praise our God. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, Abraham, who was promised a seed. And oh my, he waited a long time for it, didn't he? Oh yes, that son Isaac wasn't born until he was 100 years old. And Sarah 90. Oh yes, but praise the Lord, if God said it, it will come to pass. Praise the Lord, and God had promised Abraham that he would bless him. Oh, he would give him a seed as the sands of the sea and as the stars of heaven. And of course, oh, that God, that goes on, oh yes, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, that seed that was preserved unto Jesus. And praise the Lord, from Jesus Christ came forth a spiritual seed, his sons and his daughters. And if we're in Christ Jesus, then are we also Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord. Our God is good. But Abraham waited a long time to receive that promise. But you see, He patiently endured. And as we walk this life, we too need to endure until the end. And yes, we're talking about patience. With patience, with your patience, you possess ye your soul. I mean, we're going to have to wait some things out. Sometimes the answers don't come with a snap of the finger. You know, it's not a magic wand that we're trying to evoke. No, not by any means. But God is getting us ready, so we can stand before him. And yes, we know that we can rest in the promises of God. We can hold to the promises of God and know that what he has promised, it will come to pass. Praise the Lord. Continuing here in Hebrews 6, verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Yes, they would, you know, try to, you know, put a conflict to an end, you know, by making an oath together. And that was permissible in the times of the old covenant and actually expected. They would use that means. But oh my, you know, man can't always keep all his intentions, but there is a God whose word is absolute. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he used an oath. Oh, to, yes, affirm the promise that he had made and the fact that it was immutable. Oh, man, that's quite the word. Immutable means that it was unchangeable. Oh, praise the Lord. Who is like unto our God? Oh, we are so subject to change in this world. But our Heavenly Father, our God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God, and he changes not. And oh, how he wanted to make that clear. So he was willing to confirm his immutability by an oath. And it's expressed in verse 18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Oh, that hope, oh, that maketh not ashamed, that hope that we have in Christ Jesus, in his wonderful word. Oh, yes, as we look for a city which hath foundations, whose ruler and maker is God, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the wonderful word of God, praise our Lord. But oh, because it's impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation, oh, being a place of comfort. Oh, yes, because we can rest in his immutability. We can rest in his counsel, knowing what he said he will do. And so, therefore, we can grasp the hope that is set before us. Oh, yes, we can look unto Jesus, the finisher and author of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that veil that separated the holy place from the holiest of holy in the temple. Oh, praise the Lord. That veil was rent. Oh, when that price was paid for our salvation. Oh, yes, so now we have access to God. Praise the Lord, that holiest of holy place. Oh, there where the ark was represented the presence of God in the time of the old covenant. And only the high priest could access that very, very, you know, peculiar and particular area. Oh, yes. But praise the Lord, we all have access to God now. Praise the Lord, because Jesus Christ laid down his life so that we might all come to God. Oh, we might have access to that throne of grace. We might come boldly unto that throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a precious gift we've been given. Praise the Lord. And all this hope. Oh, this is something. It's the anchor of the soul. It holds us steadfast. It's built on the solid rock. It's not shaking. Oh my, it's not going to be one way today and a different way tomorrow. No, it's the anchor of the soul. It's sure. It's steadfast. Praise the Lord. It's firmly fixed, in other words. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we can rely on the promises of God. We can stand on them. They're built on the solid rock, and it's not going to move. It's not going to be shaken. Praise the Lord. It is sure, and it is steadfast. It tells us in verse 20, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, praise the Lord. Therefore, we have access, oh, to the throne of God. And we have an intercessor, oh, the Lord Jesus, who is there. Oh, yes, to hear our petitions, to know our needs. Oh, yes, and to intervene on our behalfs. Praise the Lord. Oh, that precious faith that he gives us so that we can stand on his promise. Praise the Lord. I think and I wonder, oh, what was it? You know, how could Elijah, for example, you know, he just made declarations. And, you know, he could stand on them, and they came to pass. You know, he just go and declare it. You know, first thing we hear of Elijah in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, verse 1, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years. But according to my word. Oh, praise the Lord. See, he declared it. You know, Elijah had a faith. His faith rested on the word of God. And therefore, he could come with great boldness and make those declarations. Oh, even to old wicked Ahab. Oh, yes. To declare, yes, there's not going to be rain or dew. And it was for the space of 3.5 years. Oh my, you know, a long, long time. But, you know, he did it. And that God made a way for his prophet. God made a way for Elijah. Oh yes, he was able to go by the brook, Cherith. And there the ravens brought him food. And he drank of the brook. And when that dried up, God sent him to Zarephath. And praise the Lord, you know, there was a widow woman that God had ordained that she would sustain him. And not only was Elijah sustained, but she was sustained. And you know, Elijah, with great boldness, was able to make a declaration to that widow. Yes, he said in the 14th verse of the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, he said in verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, you see, Elijah was standing on the promises of God. And we see that throughout his ministry. Oh, he had this faith. And he knew if it was in the will of God, it would come to pass. And he could declare it. Oh, we even see that in the second Kings, in the first chapter, the second book of Kings, and the first chapter where, you know, Ahaziah, the king, you know, son of Ahab, you know, was going to go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether he would recover of this disease. He had fallen, and, you know, he's obviously very sick, and he sent messengers to go inquire of Beelzebub. Oh, my. Oh, well, you know, no good. You can't do that and serve the Lord. But, oh, yes, he made many declarations. Oh, yes, that messenger was sent back because Elijah interrupted him, you could say, and he told him that this king, Ahaziah, was not going to recover from that disease because he had sent his messenger to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Oh my, you know. And then that king, oh, he didn't like what Elijah had done. And so he sent his captain of 50 with his 50 to come and get Elijah. And here's Elijah, he's on the top of a hill, and here comes this captain with his 50, and you know, he must have hollered, I'm guessing, "Thou man of God, the king hath said, come down." And what does Elijah do? Oh, I notice such boldness. But this is bold faith. He declared, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Oh my, I'll tell you what. Oh, God's word is true. And oh my, we better not play with it. Oh, we better take it seriously. Oh, otherwise there's going to be serious consequences if we take God's word lightly and don't listen. Oh, yes, that king sent another captain of 50 with his 50. And, oh, again, the same thing. Oh, man of God, thus saith the king, come down quickly. What does Elijah do? He declares it again. If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And it happened. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Oh, that king, oh, pretty determined, huh? He sent another captain, the third time, with his 50. But this captain, oh, he'd realized what had happened. And oh, my, he knew, oh, this was serious. Oh, my. He came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And it tells us, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the strength that God gives his people. But I believe that Elijah knew, oh, that he could stand on the promises of God. Oh, yes, it tells us in James, that fifth chapter, that Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. He could stand on the promises of God. But oh, yes, he wasn't a supernatural being, this Elijah. No, it tells us he was a man subject to like passions as we are. He had flesh, he had blood, he had problems. But you know what? He had learned to put his faith in God and to stand on God's promises. Oh, yes, he had faith that what God had declared would come to pass and God would stand with his prophet. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I believe this is so true of those that have walked by faith. Oh, praise the Lord that, you know, had up deep in their hearts that God was true. And that we could stand on his word. Praise the Lord. Oh, I see that again and again. Those that are in that 11th chapter of Hebrews all knew what it was like to have faith, to believe God, and to stand on his promises. Oh, praise the Lord. And beside the things of this life, oh, they we're looking for a better country, a heavenly country, a country where God is not ashamed to be called their God. And they were not ashamed to call God their God. Praise the Lord. For God had and hath prepared for them a city. And praise the Lord if we too are walking with the Lord. If we are standing on God's promises, then, oh, yes, we too are looking for that city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise our Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, I had, you know, a privilege of reading a biography recently. It was a biography of a man whose name is George Mueller. He lived in the 1800s. He was born in 1805 and died in 1898. But he was a man of faith. And during his lifetime, he was able to support 2,000 orphans. And, you know, he didn't go out, you know, collecting money or, you know, making appeals. He had faith in God. He didn't ask openly for money. But he would bring it to the Lord. And God provided. I believe George Mueller learned what it was like to stand on the promises of God. And in 1877, he was a little older then, but he was able to travel with his wife at that point. And one place he was able to go was North America. And it was that year, I believe that was his first trip to North America, and he was traveling by ship, and he was going to land in the area of Quebec. That's where he was going to begin his speaking tour in North America. Well, here he was. He was on this ship. It was called the Sardinian, and he was off the coast of Newfoundland. And there was a thick fog at that point, and so therefore the ship was going at a very slow crawl at that moment. And of course, you know, the captain, you know, not able to go faster, fear of, you know, being shipwrecked if, you know, he went any faster. So of course, with the fog, they were behind schedule. well, here's George Mueller, and, you know, he's thinking, you know, oh my, I've got this engagement at such and such a time, and, you know, he's concerned, you know, like, oh, the ship's not moving, you know, there's this thick, heavy fog. Well, what did George Mueller do? He went to find the captain, and he makes a declaration to the captain. He says to the captain of this ship, I must tell you that I need to be in Quebec by Saturday afternoon. Well, the captain laughed. Oh, not going to happen, hey? You know, why, he said. Why, that's impossible, Mr. Mueller. Whoever is waiting for you will just have to understand this ship is in fog. It's fog bound, and there's not a thing I can do about it. Well, George Mueller didn't let that, you know, disturb him overly. He said to the captain, "If in that case, if you cannot find a way to get me there in time, I'll have to ask God to do it. I have never missed a single engagement in 52 years, and I don't intend to start now. Come down to my cabin with me, and we will pray together." Oh, my. What faith will do. Well, the captain went with him. On the deck, he protested. He said, "But what's the point of praying? The fog is so thick, I cannot see the stern. Take a look, Mr. Mueller." Well, George Mueller says, "I don't need to look. My eye is not on the weather, but on the one who controls the weather." And therefore, they strolled into his cabin, into George Mueller's cabin, and shut the door, and George said, "Let us pray." Oh, they knelt down beside his bunk, the captain too, rather awkwardly, I would say. And George began to pray. He said, "Dear God, I come to you now to ask you to do the impossible. You know that I need to be in Quebec by Saturday and that the fog has hemmed us in. Please lift the fog so that the ship can go forward and I will be on time. Amen." Well, it was the captain's turn to pray. Well, he kind of started, but, you know, he didn't know how to pray. And you know, George Mueller excused him and said, "That's okay. I prayed, and it will happen. You don't even believe." And then he said, "You know, go and open the door. I have known my Lord 52 years. In all that time, I cannot recall a single instant that he has not answered my prayers. I can assure you the fog has lifted." Oh, praise the Lord. To the captain's amazement, oh, he got on the deck and he looked out and he said, "It's gone. Just like you prayed, the fog has gone." Oh, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, our God hears the cries of his children. And if we have faith, if we could just believe, he will answer. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, George Mueller made it to his speaking engagement in plenty of time. But there was something else that happened. That captain of the ship gave his life to the Lord Jesus that day. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what faith will do. Oh, praise the Lord. What faith will do if we could just believe God and stand on his promises. Praise the Lord. Here in Mark, the 11th chapter, going down to verse 20 here in Mark 11 says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Well, Jesus had rebuked that fig tree. Amen. And now, so it was. "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, Behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Oh, praise the Lord, what faith will do that individual that will stand on the promises of God. And of course, it goes on to, you know, tell us that there is a great need, that when we stand praying, there's a need to forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26 says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a wonderful God. He is faithful. And if our hearts are right with God, there is no reason except for doubts and fears, and maybe, you know, God might, you know, put off sometimes, and maybe he has another plan. Sometimes we might not be praying in accordance with his will, you know, and sometimes God may be using circumstances for his glory, you know, to show us, to mold us, to shape us, to increase our faith. You don't always know precisely and exactly. But I know one thing, we serve a God who answers by fire. We serve a God that is faithful. Oh, we serve a God whose promises are yea and amen. Amen. It's not like men's word. Oh no, you know, what God has declared will come to pass. I think sometimes of Brother Donald Lance, who came here and preached in earlier times. And of course, at this point, he's at home with the Lord. But for years, he was a missionary to the Philippines. And I do recall one very dear conversation I had with Brother Lance. You know, he was talking about faith. And he was talking about some of his experiences in the Philippines. I know before he died, he was able to go back, and I think it was a little bit difficult, the visit back at the Philippines, because some of the churches that he had established were no longer there. But what he did tell me is, you know, when things were very fervent and moving there in the Philippines, that these people, when they had a need, they were sick, and they came for prayer. They believed God, and they were healed. Amen. When they went down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, they believed when they came up out of the water, they would be speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God came upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and it happened. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know all things. I know very little. In reality, but I do know that Jesus himself asked that question there in the book of Luke. Oh, yes, we're familiar with it, aren't we? But he asked in Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, speaking of his children which cry day and night unto him, though we bear long with them. But then that question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, how we need faith. We've got to learn. We're going to have to hold on to the promises of God. I don't know what's going to come forth. I don't know how long we'll have opportunities to bring forth the gospel, to preach on the internet, or do all these things, to send our letters, and to pray one for another, to have our conversations on the telephone or whatever, to meet at certain times, to come and be baptized, to receive the Holy Ghost. I don't know. All I know is, we're seeing things coming upon the earth that we've never seen before. But I know one thing. God's promises will be the same. No matter what betides this earth, no matter what is going on in this earth. Oh, yes, I know, regardless. Even if we're shut up in our little chambers and unable to go anywhere, oh my, we can still stand upon the promises of God. Oh, praise the Lord, his promises that are yea and amen, his promises that he has declared that will come indeed to pass. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what is ahead. I don't take anything for granted. Oh, but I know one thing that I can stand upon, and that's God's word. That's God's promises. Oh, yes, I believe, the elders of old, the faithful of the Old and New Testament, yes, they had learned that lesson. They had learned that they could stand on God's good promises. I know Joshua declared such. Oh, yes, and as I get ready to close this message, I would like to go to the 23rd chapter of Joshua. Here we have Joshua's departing message. And oh my, he is telling them their need. Oh yes, to walk with the Lord, to hold on to God, praise the Lord. He's reminded them of the good things that God has done, how he has been with them. But he had to also warn them. Oh, yes, that they must not depart from the law of Moses, that they would not turn aside to the right hand or to the left, and yes, that they would not conform to the other nations that were yet around them. Oh, that they would never make mention of the names of their gods or be caused to swear by those gods or serve those gods or bow themselves to those gods. But he urged them, verse 8 here, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. Oh, praise the Lord. God had allowed them to go in to Canaan land and destroy the enemy. Praise the Lord. He told them in verse 10, one man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. Oh, praise the Lord. And then he said, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Oh, he's warning them. Oh, the reason they had strength was because the Lord was with them. That's how they could stand, because the Lord had been with them. And he gave them that strength to stand. and their enemies could not stand before them and their God. Oh, they were able to chase 1,000. One man of them could chase 1,000 because God had been with them and God fought for them. Oh, praise the Lord. But don't you go to the right or to the left. Don't you turn around. Don't you embrace their gods. Oh, don't you make, you know, marriages with those heathen people. Oh, he's warning them, because if you do, you're not going to have strength. You're not going to have power. You're going to be defeated. God's not going to fight for you. Oh, here we are at such a time as this. Oh, how we need to turn to the living God. How this nation needs to turn to the living God. We need to be down on our knees crying out to God for mercy. Oh, yes, he's the one that can help us. Oh, he's the only one that can help us. You know, I was told, I was in a conversation last night, and my daughter Ruth, actually, and she had heard that before the Iron Curtain came down and communism, the walls were broken and all, that there were Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that were walking. Oh, and they were praying. They were having a prayer walk. And they were praying against those walls, against the spirit of communism and everything else. They were praying. Huh, that's why the walls came down. Oh, man might think he had a part in that. Oh, no, because God heard those cries. God knew of the need, and he answered. Oh, that's the mighty God we serve. Oh, praise the Lord who hears the cries of his people. If only they will cry and repent and turn to him with all their hearts. Oh my. But here is Joshua, and oh yes, he's telling them, oh yes, in verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts, in all your souls, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Whew. That's our God. Oh, if you can walk in his promises, if you can stand on his promises, oh, and not waver, and not let the doubts and the fears arise. Oh, come on, church. Let's believe God. Let's stand on his promises. If Joshua could declare it, as long as you're right with God, as long as you're walking with God, oh, yes, the Lord will fight for you. And praise the Lord. Oh, if we can walk with him, if we can believe him, if we can rest in his promises, we can say, as Joshua said, oh, yes, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he hath destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourself to them. Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Oh my, but as long as they were right with God, oh, they had a strength. The Lord worked with them. Our God is mighty. Our God is mighty. There is nothing too hard for our God. And regardless of what will come upon the face of the earth, because I know there is a day that God hath appointed in which he will judge this world in righteousness. And yes, we know that he's going to come. He is going to come. That will come to pass. No matter, what others may think and do, God's word is true, and we can stand on his promises. Amen. And therefore, one more portion of scripture I feel led to read right now, Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't ever give up your confidence in God. Don't ever quit standing on his promises. He is true and faithful. He is true and faithful. And yes, one of these days, he that shall come, and will not tarry. Praise the Lord. His people, the just, shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Don't ever draw back. Don't ever give up. Keep on walking with the Lord. Keep on standing on his promises. Keep on believing it in your heart. For our God is true. Amen. And what he has said will surely come to pass. Oh, praise the Lord. We are so blessed to know the living God. Oh, yes, this world is in rebellion. It is in confusion. Oh, my, it's gone astray. But, oh, thank God there is a people of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. There is a remnant that the Lord has sealed. And, oh, praise the Lord, if we could just hold on. That confidence in our heart. Oh, that God has made a way for us, that he has called us and chosen us. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, if we can hold on. Oh, praise the Lord. We can be heirs of his promise, heirs of eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. We are so blessed to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Work in our hearts, oh God. Stir our hearts. Help us to believe your word. Oh God, let the devil be defeated. Oh God, let us let go of anything that would distract and hinder us. Let us walk by faith and not by sight. Let us lay hold on the good promises of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Let us stand on your promises, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, work in our hearts and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to stand on his promises. Amen. And believe to the saving of our souls. Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise our Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnals in closing and turn to number 30, Standing on the Promises, number 30. On the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.